Good Wednesday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. I'm sure you've noticed 2 weeks from today will be Christmas Day. In our scripture reading, we're in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 1, and today verses 14 to 25. Let's rejoin the old priest Zechariah in the holy place in the temple in Jerusalem. For the first time in his life, he has been selected to be the intercessor of the day, the priest chosen to enter the temple, put hot coals and incense on the altar of incense, and then worship and pray to Almighty God for Israel and his own personal requests. Luke 1:11 tells us that while he was doing this, suddenly an angel of God appeared in the same room and spoke to Zechariah in his language, calling him by name and telling him that his prayers had been heard and that he and his barren wife Elizabeth would have a son. Now please notice with me the characteristics of this son that the angel describes. First, he's to be named John, because it means the Lord is gracious, and God was most certainly being gracious to the secularized nation of Israel by sending a miracle boy who would be the forerunner of Messiah. You'll remember there are several people in the Bible whom God named before they were born. I'll give you two. Ishmael, the son of Hagar and Abraham. I see that in Genesis 16:11, and Isaac, the son of Sarah and Abraham. Genesis 17:19. Secondly, I see in Luke 1:14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. May I ask a question? Do you believe God cares about your emotional state? Does God care when you're discouraged, fearful, anxious, worried, angry, despondent, bitter, resentful? Does God delight when you're joyful, thankful, happy, content? Yes, my friends. Why? Because he loves you and made you to love him and find joy in your relationship with him. God knew Zechariah and Elizabeth had lived with disappointment and maybe even a broken heart the older they got without children. Being both of them from the family line of Aaron, they had such high hopes of sons who would follow in their priestly line. The angel assured them that their elderly years would be filled with great joy, as their home would be filled with the sounds of a son. But more than that, they would find even greater joy as they watched this son John grow up and be greatly used of God for God's glory among God's people Israel. Number three, I see in chapter 1, verse 15, he is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. While the phrase is not used to Zechariah and Elizabeth, this description sounds very much like the Nazarite vow described in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, for those who were to be consecrated to the Lord for all of their life. The special anointing of the Holy Spirit from birth is unique to John. While others were anointed by the Holy Spirit for particular times or events, for John it was an anointing for a lifetime. And number four, verse 16 and 17 are very important as they link very closely with the closing verses of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. These words from the angel would explain to Zechariah and all Israel that the 400-year silence from God was ended, and John was the first prophet of God in the new era. You'll note that Zechariah blessed his son with these words in Luke 1:76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Number five, the reference to John in verse 17, going on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, was very significant to Zechariah and first century Jews. Elijah was held in the highest of esteem and perhaps most remembered for his famous Mount Carmel showdown with Israel's King Ahab and Jezebel's prophets of Baal. I see that in 1 Kings chapter 18. This picture could have awakened in Jewish minds thoughts of John confronting the Roman Caesar and leading Israel back to years of grandeur again. But the last line of verse 17 makes it a clear statement from God. John's life was not about political or military achievement. His role in history was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5 was the picture. John was to prepare the people for Messiah, Jesus the Christ. I wonder if you put yourself in Zechariah's sandals and tried to imagine all the emotions and intellectual stretch it was for him that day in the temple with that angel. What would you have said or asked after you caught your breath, maybe picked yourself up off the floor? You see Zechariah's question in verse 18. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. That's fair, don't you think? Now the angel's response is important. First, he identifies himself by name and position in God's heaven. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Verse 19 to 20. My friends, does that seem harsh, too severe? May I offer this thought? The single most important thing Zechariah had to do for the next 9 months was prepare. Prepare his mind, his heart, his relationship with Elizabeth for several years of mentoring John, and preparing John for the ministry of being the forerunner of the Messiah. Zechariah could not be caught up in the discussions, debate, maybe traveling around the country to tell his story. He needed to spend extended amounts of time studying all he could in the Old Testament to understand everything God had said about Messiah and preparing for him. May I offer a question to all of us? The long-anticipated year of 2020 is now only 3 weeks away. How do we best use these 3 weeks to prepare? And how will each of us best use the year 2020 to participate with God in all he wants to accomplish in our world? Luke 1, 21 and 22 tells us the people waiting outside the temple quickly realized something very special had occurred inside the temple with Zechariah, but he was unable to explain it. You can imagine how the anticipation and questions began right there. I would guess several of those people kept a close eye for the next several months, watching to see what the results of that morning in the holy place would bring. As Dr. Luke wrote, verse 23 to 25, I imagine he did so with a sense of awe. His medical training would say it was impossible, but he'd seen enough miracles in his travels with Paul, and as he interviewed the disciples and the friends of Jesus, I'm sure he heard story after story of Jesus' miracles. You'll notice there's a six-month gap between the end of verse 25 and the beginning of verse 26. In those 6 months, Zechariah and Elizabeth were the only two human beings on earth who knew what God was finally at work doing, making final preparations for the soon arrival of the Messiah. I imagine they filled those months with study, prayer, worship, and of course practical preparations to have a son born into their home. What might God do with you and me, my Walking with Jesus friends, if you and I spent some extra time these next 3 weeks preparing ourselves? Extra time in God's Word and prayer and worship, asking the Holy Spirit to do a special work of preparing us for what God has planned for 2020 and how God wants to invite you and me into that plan. Lord Jesus, would you help us prepare like Zechariah and Elizabeth did so we're ready to participate with you in 2020.